whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bemidji Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Points up and down the East Coast. We're waiting to talk to Nate Tice, I believe, in just moments here. Obviously, a lot of exciting stuff going on in Ashburn as the team is preparing to take on Tampa. I mean, this is a huge matchup. You know, one thing that I think is going to be a lot different. One thing that I think is going to be a lot different is having Kalijah Kancey for this Bucs defense. But, you know, that's football, man.
Yeah.
that's how it goes, dude. Right now, though, we're excited to have Nate Tice join us from Yahoo Sports and NFL Network. Nate, what's up, dude? How are you?
Not too much. Just trying to get ready for these wild card games, and I guess I have to do college football playoffs first. So I think that you'll whet my appetite a little bit before we get to wild card weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing very well.
You'll be ready for it, Nate.
Well, dude, I'll be ready. Don't worry.
I'm happy to do a little college before we move forward. You got Notre Dame, Penn State tonight, Ohio State, Texas tomorrow night. What are you expecting in both of them?
Oh, man, I think tonight's game is going to be a fist fight. You got two teams that have good defenses, Notre Dame and Penn State. Notre Dame wants to run the ball 50 times with their running backs. You know, some injuries there, but also their quarterback, Riley That's Leonard. Not. And then Penn State's explosive, but it's all kind of – you know, shots. Like, it's not more sustained explosiveness. So I think, like any good football game, will come down to a few plays. But I think this one's going to be a slug fight. I think it's a race to 20 points. And it might be a quick one relatively for a college football game. Yeah. Getting all the run plays in there. But we still might get the 45-minute bans at halftime. So maybe not too quick.
A lot of people may not like that game. I'm going to love it. I love to see teams that run the football down your throat, no matter what.
Good defense, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a classic there. And then, yeah, and then the other game, hopefully Quinn Ewers got his head on straight. I'll just say that, going on the other side of the ball. But I think that's going to be a fun one, too. Ohio State's really picked it up. They got just so much talent, and it's kind of pick your weapon. Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Mbuga, Andy's guys. Ohio State's defense is really good, so I'm kind of favoring Ohio State in that one just because I don't really trust Texas's offense all the way right now.
I mean, they've been on fire over these last 2 weeks, man. But after that Michigan game, I thought they were in trouble. But, hell, they found something.
They did. And just all the injuries that Ohio State had offensive line, but this isn't like the NFL and some of these blue-chip programs. It's like, oh, yeah, just drop in the next four-star, five-star guy we got. Yeah, he's a freshman or a sophomore, but not like he's some guy that you just signed off the street, you know. So that is one nice thing when you're at one of these big programs, is it's next man up sometimes.
For sure. Now we've covered that stuff. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I can't wait to watch tonight and tomorrow. But here in Washington, by far the bigger story is what's going to happen Sunday night when the Commanders take on the Buccaneers. We are talking with Nate Tice. You can read his work over at NFL.com or Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on X at Nate_Tice, T-I-C-E. Nate, let's just start there, man. What do you think of this matchup, Commanders-Bucs?
Oh, man, you know, some of these games, these playoff games, we have a lot of repeat matchups, but, like, the thing with the Commanders and the Bucs game, it was week one, which might as well be 2 years ago in NFL terms. Everything is so week to week in the NFL and so month to month, and you had a rookie quarterback making his first professional start going against a blitz-happy defense, not the easiest defense to go against. And I think that's first and foremost where I go, where my eyes go, because anytime you play against the Bucs, there is going to be Todd Bowles' defense and how blitz happy he is. And writing about it this week, I kind of did a little deep dive on it, and the Bucs blitz more than any team on record in Next Gen Stats' is kind of database, which goes back to 2016. On third and fourth down, they've blitzed more than any team that we've ever seen in the NFL. Two-thirds of the time, they'll blitz on third and fourth down. Jane Daniels in week one against the blitz, he went 5-9 for 45 yards, got sacked a couple times. He was pressured 9 of 11 of those dropbacks. But since then, Jaden's been one of the better quarterbacks against the blitz. He's 8th in dropback success rate since week one, 3rd in EPA per dropback, which is a stat I like to look at. But he'll scramble a good amount too. And the Bucs can be susceptible to scrambles because blitzing, you might lose your contain lanes, and you might lose yourself trying to get after the quarterback. So to me, that's kind of a fun strength versus strength kind of thing, where it's kind of who it's a gash or be gash world. Is it Jaden scrambling, hitting a deep shot? Maybe he likes to throw it over the middle a lot, so it might be a Zach Ertz game against the blitz. Or do the Bucs get home and kind of corral him and kind of make him stay in the pocket? I just think that's fun because I don't think either team's going to shy away from what they do. I mean, that's how they got here. So I'm really, really excited to watch those third and fourth downs and how Daniels and the Commanders' offensive line handle the blitzes that the Bucs are obviously going to show.
It's going to be fascinating, and you're so right that week one was so long ago that you really can't draw much from that. But in that answer, in that game, one of the things I find fascinating is Jaden ran a lot in that game. I think he had 13 carries, which would probably be a season high, 16 carries rather. As the season progressed, his eyes slowed down. He stayed in the pocket, started beating people. Then as the season continued, he started using his legs more once he got over that little bit of a rib thing and was incredibly effective. I still think he could be the leading rusher in this game, and that's good for Washington.
I think he will be. And also, it's like, I think that is the best answer for Commanders for this game, for Washington this game, is obviously they're rookie star quarterback is a good answer, but his legs, I think that's how they're going to find the explosive plays, because if your team's blitzing you, you don't want to live with 4 yard gains. That's what the defense wants. You want to scare them out of it with 20 yard gains, touchdowns. You saw the whole Bengals team get defeated when Daniels hits that one shot, you know, against the blitz against them. But the thing is too is you just brought up the point that he might be the leading rusher, and that's kind of a good and another kind of point or a thing I'm looking at in this game is that the Commanders' run offense has been good this year. And I would even say one of the most, I wouldn't say underrated, but surprising good run games. I always thought Cliff Kingsbury had a good run game when he was with the Cardinals, which was kind of an underrated aspect of his offense. But then I thought Bobby Johnson and the offensive line coach for the Commanders did a really good job this year. Really diverse run game. The stat I always like to look at is rushing success rate, which is successful play for the offense. So five or more yards on first down, goal to gain or down to gain, distance to gain, I'm sorry, on second down. Commanders are top three on early down rushing success rate. Bucks have the best run defense in the NFL on early downs. They're led by a guy named Vita Vea, who is
stunned.
You can't miss him. You can't miss him. That's why I think that might be tough sledding for the Commanders. They're going to try, but again, that's where going to your point that I think Daniels will be the leading runner because of the scrambles, but also they might have some tough sledding on early downs trying to run the ball.
What do you feel their chances are? A lot of people look at the fact that they played teams and they point out that they played teams that aren't in the playoffs. Well, people that aren't in the playoffs beat some of these teams that people lose their minds over. So, what do you feel the Washington chances are?
Oh, I mean, I think this game's going to go down to the wire, which, considering how the Commanders' season has gone this year, might not be the worst thing, because that's kind of their thing. The last 4 minutes of the game, let's start doing some stuff. I really do think this is going to just be a tight, tight game. It really come down to some of those big plays. I think on the other side of the ball, ever since the Washington moved Mike Sainerstill out to the outside corner, I felt like their pass defense has gotten a lot better. They still give up explosives, but it's not the worst defense or one of the worst defense. It's more like average-ish, at the very least, I think. But I think that's a big difference, I think, compared to week one as well. And I think that's something some people are underrating about this Commanders team, because there's so much focus on the offense, and then you kind of wave away the defense. Oh, yeah, sure. Payne, yeah, Jonathan Allen's back. Yeah, that's fine. But I do think that matters going against this team because the Bucs' offense is very good. I think that's more evenly matched than I think some people are coming out to be. I think this one comes down the wire. I'm trying to remember what the spread was to maybe lean into that.
Dude, it's just
the Bucs are favored by 3.5. So I think the Commanders cover that at the very least, which I'm going to say that means I think it's going to be a field goal or less game either way. I know it's kind of stays in my eyes, so I don't want to go either way.
Nah, man, you're cool either way. We'd always just have the real conversation, but I think if you've been watching Washington for the last month, you'd be nuts to not think it comes down to the wire. whether they win or lose, that's what they do. And they've done really well at being on the right side of those.
Yep, and that's, again, that speaks to Jaden Daniels' play, is that he can open the game up when it gets like that and turn, some some bad situations he had. I'm remembering, what was it, 2 weeks ago, the third or the fourth down scramble he had, or the third and forever scramble he had. Like, that's the thing, is he always has that element he can throw in, and it's a really good element against this defense that's going to be aggressive. And they're not going to shy away from it. So that's he's the equalizer. So yeah, it's not fair to put it all on a rookie quarterback, but it's going to come down to him. And that's kind of how the playoffs are. It's not fun. It's not easy for anybody.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Nate. Speaking with Nate Tice, you can read his work, NFL.com, Yahoo Sports. He's all over the place. Football 301 is the podcast. Let's zoom out from just the Commanders Bucks, because obviously that's going to be an awesome game. But, you know, Saturday's games, seems like the whole world has the Chargers going into Houston and winning. I get that you've got Harbaugh on one side, but, I mean, Houston won a wild card round game last year and kind of took the Ravens, you know, into the fourth quarter in that division round. Do you think folks are – I know it's been an up-and-down season for Houston, but do you think folks are overlooking them at all?
A little, because I don't think people realize how good their defense is and how good their pass rush is. I just said, you know, Jaden being a quarterback is the great equalizer. I think on the defensive side, a good pass rush is the great equalizer, especially when it comes into playoffs. Remember the Bucs Chiefs Super Bowl a few years ago. Mahomes couldn't even throw the ball because the Bucs pass rush was just so good in that game. So I do think that the Texans do have that. Like, they have Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. And yes, the strength of the Chargers' offensive line is their tackles, but their guards aren't that great, and their interior isn't that great, and pressure can throw off any quarterback, even one as good as Justin Herbert. So I do think that element has been overlooked a little bit. I will say that the other side of the ball is what scares me for the Texans. So I think I am part of more to the consensus in this game, where I am leaning Chargers, because I do think that the Texans' offensive line is just that bad. And I just think that the Chargers defense is very disciplined. They are very well game planned as well. Jesse Minter, their defense coordinator, is phenomenal getting the most out of his guys. And they really squeeze things. They're really tight on things. They allow the fewest amount of yards after the catch in the NFL. Like, they're good tackling, just a very sound team. And why I'm saying that is I don't think the Texans are very well coached on offense. I think their offensive line is fairly poorly coached. And I think that the Chargers are going to be able to get after it. The Texans also can't run the ball. They're the worst rushing offense in the NFL. That success rate stat that I just brought up, but really any stat you look at. And it's just a lot on C.J. Stroud. And it's a lot on C.J. Stroud that's going to be on third and long. Without Tank Dell now, just Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, who are still – I mean, Nico Collins is a top 6-7 receiver in the NFL. I mean, he's really taking a leap this year, but we're going against the Chargers, who will double team number one option. They will really have really intricate game plans. That's why I really like Minter. So it's just, I don't see what I like to call a natural answer for the Texans outside of, like, hey, CJ Stroud, black out.
Right.
And that can happen. Don't get me wrong. You want a quarterback that can reach those highs, but it's just, the floor is pretty low for that Texans team right now, and that's why I think I'm a little with the consensus, where I'm a little worried about how the Texans are going to be able to move the ball outside a few shot plays in Nico Collins.
Well, what about that the Steelers Ravens game? Zay Flowers again not practicing. I'm not going to rule him out. I mean, who knows what happens by Saturday night? But he missed every practice this week. If they don't have Zay, Pittsburgh can still play defense. I don't know what their offense can do, but I mean, that number seems awfully big with Zay Flowers on the sideline. What do you think of that Steelers-Ravens game?
Well, and also, I don't mind the Ravens going into big bodies. They're comfortable doing it, literal big bodies with Patrick Ricard or a tight end or an extra lineman or something of that sort. I mean, Derrick Henry makes it big bodies by default anyways. But I do think the Steelers have always played Lamar tough, because they're one of the best teams that against quarterback runs. I feel like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders found that out when they played the Steelers earlier this year too. Really good against scrambles, really good against design runs. They make you stay from the pocket. Lamar has been he was my MVP pick. I think that I've always thought he's been underrated as an operator from the pocket, and I'm glad a lot of people are like, oh, wow, he's pretty good at it. So I think that's why that is going to be a good answer no matter what for the Ravens. I also think the Steelers are kind of backwards what you would think about them. When they have big bodies on defense, they're not as good as they are when they have light bodies with DBs out there and nickel and dime, which is not what you would think with the Steelers. You're thinking, oh, no, big bodies, they're going to be good at it. But so I think that the Ravens, again, I'm going to use that term, have a natural answer against them. I think that just really their offense has been explosive. Rashad Bateman's come on, and Joey Porter Jr. might take that, you know, might take him away out of the game, which isn't that hard. But I do think the Ravens have tight ends. And they also have the run game that they can always rely on. So that's why I do think, even without Zay Flowers, that they do still have alternative answers. But I do agree that that is a big spread. I will say on the other side of the ball is the Ravens defense, the first half of the year was, I mean, atrocious. They're really good against the run. But defending the pass, they were the worst defense in allowing explosive passes. They were bottom 10 in dropback success rate. They were 29th in net yards per attempt, so that's yards subtracted by sack yardage. And then since week 11, they changed their DBs. They benched Marcus Williams. They put Washington back there. They put Kyle Hamilton back at safety instead of the slot. And they've had the best pass defense in the NFL since week 11. And they've limited explosive plays. The whole Steelers offense is based off running the ball first, running the ball second, running the ball third, running the ball fourth, and then throwing deep balls from Russell Wilson. The
moon balls.
Yep, the moon balls. And Russell throws them as well as anybody. But if they don't connect on those, the Steelers can't move the ball. That's their formula. And if the Ravens, who have been one of the best pass defenses in the NFL the last 2 months, kind of limit that, it could be a real tough slog for the Steelers offense, especially with the Ravens' run defense being so good. So this game, to me, is going to come down to those six moon balls. and I say that jokingly, but I also say that pretty seriously, that it's going to come every go ball. Everyone should just hold their breath because those will decide the game. Wow. Every time you see Russell tilt his shoulder back.
I think you're right on there, dude. I that game could be interesting, but games, that's the only one I look at that if it's a blowout won't shock me. I kind of think the Broncos might be able to keep pace with the Bill. Well, on Sunday, do you see anything surprising? Anything that you really like or think is a problem?
Maybe the Packers in an outright win over the Eagles.
That's the second time we've heard that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me building fan fiction. but, you know, the more I look at it, the more, like, the Eagles defense, Jordan Love is a very specific quarterback. So, but I really like watching him. He's not everyone's cup of tea because he is a trick shot thrower. He's going to go for the big plays, and I get that. But the Eagles' defense doesn't do the things that can maybe take Love out of his game, which is they don't run a ton of man coverage, and they also don't blitz a ton. Those are the things that can lead to Love being volatile. He's really good against zone coverage. He's a top five quarterback, and all the metrics I list off over and over, top five quarterback against zone. This also talks about all the receivers the Packers have. They don't have maybe the best receivers, especially with Christian Watson out now, to beat man coverage over and over. We saw that against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, where they just couldn't get open. It just felt tight. And I just think this week, the Eagles are going to lean into zone. But this is where having multiple valid answers, maybe not alpha number one, but a lot of Bs, you know, a lot of number twos in this Packers receiving room, that's actually good against this Eagles team that runs zone coverage. They run zone coverage at the sixth highest rate on late downs, and they barely blitz, which, like I said, again, is something that can maybe limit Jordan Love and get him into his volatile kind of play. The other thing, though, is the Eagles are really good against to beat a Vic Fangio defense. You either got to run it on them or beat them over the top. They're really good at limiting explosive plays, and Jordan Love is very good at finding explosive plays, but Christian Watson's out. So that is the one element that has me a little antsy about the Packers, but I just think that they have natural answers again to beat this Eagles defense, and I think their defense has played well enough to like hold against that Eagles offense that's so explosive and just has to withstand the 30 Saquon Barkley touches.
I mean, Saquon just grinds you down in late in games. Man, hey Nate, thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate
really enjoyed talking.
No, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
All right, very cool, man. Nate Tice, read his work, Yahoo Sports, NFL Network. You can follow him at Nate_Tice.